I don't know if anybody has told you about the truth. The truth about it. You know that one thing you can't seem to shake. The one that, well, won't hurt anybody if it's true. But it's eating at you. As the thoughts swirl and orbit around your mind, you can't just contain it anymore. The thoughts and rumblings deep in your mind. How could it be wrong? What does it mean? Did you really moon those people on your 21st birthday? No, of course not. You were just looking up at the sky. It was a full moon. A full hollow moon. A full hollow occupied moon.
I didn't see you there.
It all started early this morning.
From hunting ghosts to Bigfoot, UFOs,
cryptids, true crime, paranormal, and more.
I've always wanted to see a UFO.
Oh, I was researching for your entertainment.
That's Bigfoot's guy.
He basically wrote the book on modern culture.
We aren't really comedians.
What if Buddha did cocaine?
The Addams Family on meth.
This is
the Black Cat Report.
See you on the other side.
Welcome to the Black Cat Report in episode 95. I am Joey, and with me today is the always effervescent Gil.
Huh? Hello, everyone.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us. But before we get into today's topic, we want to give you some BCR updates. On Tuesday, Gil and I will be on InnerScare's YouTube channel at 9 p.m.
Yes, and make sure to hit us up on Instagram for any type of updates. Follow our posts. We'll be making announcements and stuff about it. He asked us to come on, and we just jumped on that immediately. He's a super awesome guy with an incredible channel, and it's going to be a great opportunity for everybody.
Yeah, can't wait for that. And also, we want to announce, too, the next B3 episode is May 4th, which is this coming Saturday at 7:30 p.m.
7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. 6:30 p.m. Central, and other folks are used to figuring it out. Y'all got this. Also, I want to throw in there too, topic for the episode is last call. It's contact with loved ones who have passed away. And here's the deal. 46% of Americans, according to a Pew Research study put out in August of 2023, say that they have had post-death contact with a loved one. It is almost half of Americans. It's a guaranteed chance half of y'all out there listening to this have. And we would absolutely love to hear. This is the outlet. This is the venue. You have all legitimization behind you. You're not alone with this. So if you've had something that was a dream that was more than a dream, where you've made contact with a loved one who was already passed, if you've been sitting in your bedroom at night and felt their presence, right? Or if you've been in the middle of cooking and all of a sudden like felt like they were right next to you and you started having a conversation with them, however it happened, this is the episode for you. Please go to ghost.beer. From there, you'll find a million different ways to submit. You can record your story ahead of time and send it to us and we'll play it on air. You can fill out a form. You can type it out and be like, hey, this is my whole jam. This is everything that happened, and we'll read it on air. You can send us an email. And you can call in live during the show. We'll all chat with you. You can chat with us all. We want to hear your story. We want to talk with you about it. So that is, again, that is happening next Saturday. We're super stoked to see you there.
Also, I want to announce, too, that you can now vote for us if you're in, I guess you technically don't have to be in Western North Carolina to vote for us.
No.
But you can vote for us in the best of WNC.
Western North Carolina.
It'll be up in the show notes for the link to it. Gonna have to fill out a lot of stuff. And you're going to have to put your email in so that you can get the voting thing for it. But it's definitely, it's worth it because you get to see us. I mean, if you live around here, if you don't, then we'll send pictures of us holding the newspaper of being the top podcast in WNC.
Yeah.
We'll actually do something really cool with the pictures.
We will moon the police department.
If you want to see us do something crazy, I'm not naming. That's an option. Hey, we're good for whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But you can vote for us. Vote early. Vote often.
We 100% endorse, condone, and solicit voter fraud on this podcast. A lot of other media outlets, they try to hide it. They try to convince people it's not happening, but they're really encouraging it. All that shit, fuck that. We're here for the truth. And the truth is, lie, cheat, steal. Whatever you got to do to get us in there, get us not just nominated, but victorious. We are here to conquer. All right?
Fake ID until you vote us to the top. That's what we're saying. There's no good way to say it. Yeah, that's all it is.
Well, this is our It's how we balance out not having commercials and constant advertisements. We just solicit you for mildly illegal activities. It's an easy trade.
Mildly. It's mildly. An easy trade for us.
Joey,
yeah.
we have another announcement. Were you about to say what I think you're about to say?
No, I want to hear you. You
go ahead. Bro, okay, so y'all, this is, I hope y'all are patting yourself on the back. I hope y'all are petting yourself a cat right now, because we wouldn't be able to make all these announcements if it wasn't for y'all. So first off, thank you. Y'all are literally the best. There's a reason why we say we love you at the end of every episode, and that we'll see you next week and all that jazz, right? Next week is also the premiere of Black Cat Report on radio station. I feel sorry for the motherfucker that's going through and having to do the censor noise. But it is the premiere for the Black Cat Report on radio stations in Southern Florida, in Tampa, in Charlotte, Detroit, Northern Ireland, and in England. We're premiering on AM, FM, radio stations all over the fucking place. Starting next week. We still don't have all of the actual, like, you know, 97 point whatever. Like, we don't have all those radio stations down yet. We don't have the full schedule that's going to be getting announced around Monday. So again, if you really want to keep up with it, the place that we're most active is Instagram. So if you want to keep up with those announcements, if you live in those areas, it would mean the fucking world to us. You just tuned in.
Yeah.
You know, and like listened. We have a 10 episode streak that is going to be playing. We already sent them the episodes. We had hit folks up on Instagram and we were like, what are your favorites? Like, we didn't, you know, we were at like 80 something episodes when they were like, all right, you qualify, you're ready to go. And we were like, fuck, what episodes do we choose? You know?
Yeah.
So we picked 10 episodes. It was a couple of Joey's favorites, a couple of my favorites, and then we threw it out there to all the folks on Instagram, and we're like, what are your favorite episodes? And that's what's going to be premiering on AM and FM radio stations in the U.S. and in parts of Europe.
Yep.
The first week of May is really our biggest week I think we've ever had.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely going to be the biggest week.
So stoked.
So thank you all for helping us get there.
Yes.
And there'll be more updates to come, but for now, me and Gil would like to get into the next topic that has been orbiting my brain for a while, and I know it's been around Gil's mind as well. Now, I don't want to sound like a lunatic, but the moon has many secrets. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to even escape any of the theories people have put out there in the general public about the moon, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, people argue so much about whether we even landed on the moon. Spoiler alert, we did, okay? For all those theories to make sense, we need to establish that we did land on the moon, as the most damning evidence for these theories relies on us landing there. And me and Gil joke about this and talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to bash any of your beliefs. I don't want to tell you you're wrong, but I am going to dispel a few rumors and notions that we didn't land on the moon. You can always present evidence to us. I want to say that I know that people make the point about the Van Allen radiation belt, right? As it's the first piece of evidence that we didn't land on the moon. Well, I'm going to spoil this for you. James Van Allen himself, the person that created the theory and the actual thing, said it was possible to get through the weaker points of the belt, as well as the space shuttle is going so fast that it posed very little risk to the Apollo missions, which reached the moon. So obviously they got to the moon, to me. That's how I see it. And secondly, for the people who say, why haven't we been back to the moon? And me and Gil joked about this on the beginning, just on phone, like our pre-production call. I just said, why would we go back to the moon?
Why would you go back to your ex?
Uh-huh.
You've been there, done that. You're gone. You've moved on.
There's no need to go back. We planted our flag there, whether you believe that or not. You know, there's the pictures of it. The one, I think there's two or three pictures of us planting the flag there. And it, you know, has a little thing that holds the flag. Not solar wind. There's a little post that holds the flag up, and Gil's probably gonna say something to this.
I don't want the moon activity deniers or truther, I don't know what they're calling themselves this week. I don't want the other side of the argument to feel completely left out, because
for sure
I have actually heard some shit that I haven't heard explained.
Uh-huh.
Right, where I was just like, damn, that's a good point. We'll get into that. But there has been a couple things where it's like caused me to kind of reel back. And I've been like, damn, okay.
For sure. And, you know, I don't mean to, I don't mean to belittle, even if it sounds like I'm doing it a little bit. This is just me getting out some of my thoughts about it.
It's a belittle bit. It's just a belittle bit.
It's a belittle, just a belittle bit. Yeah. And I'm just, I'm just getting my thoughts out to you guys. And what we want to say is, if you want to talk to us about it, we have an email at haters@blackcat.report that you can just fill up. Gil will respond. I don't look at emails, so Gil will respond.
Joey doesn't handle the public.
I don't handle the public.
As you can tell by this long disclaimer, Joey does not handle the public. I do.
No.
I have a two-letter response, which is just F you to every email. The amount of deals we've lost because of my PR relationship.
Maybe I should get on the email and start answering. They do say that I am the businessman of the two of us.
Nobody says that.
I say that. I say that.
So anyways, I set us up with the radio station.
So, Gil, thank you for that.
You're welcome, motherfucker. All love.
Well, anyways, after this long rant, and I'm sorry that you guys had to hear that, let's get into our first moon theory, right? Well, the first theory we're going to look into is there is another race of aliens or races of aliens that occupy the moon.
Okay.
Now, my source for this is a book by George H. Leonard with the titular title, Somebody Else is on the Moon.
This book is a classic, dude.
Yeah, in 1977.
Yeah, it's been on our Amazon wish list quite some time. Yeah. But there's a reason why a lot of moon books never leave our wish list and never become episodes.
This might be our first and last episode of Moon Theories. So the beginning of this book kind of goes into the feasibility of how another race could live life on the moon, right? With no atmosphere, no food, no sustainability.
Yeah.
You know, the things that kind of make it easy for us to live on Earth, right?
They help.
Yeah, they help. As much as I'd like to be able to explain this to you, I think it would be easier if Gil with two L's, Gil's cousin, I like to say he's our cousin too, explained it to you. And
yeah.
Gil actually called him up before the show when we had our pre-production meeting. I was like, Gil, can you call him up?
Yeah. I called him. I'm just going to give you a heads up. It was not productive at all.
Hello?
Hey.
Hello?
Hey, man.
Who is this?
It's me. It's Gil.
Who is this?
Your cousin?
Hold on one second. Hold on. I can't hear you. Hold on. That the government has retrieved... How to do it?
Hey, man. It's Gil.
Shill?
Gil?
You say government shill.
No. Gil. Gil with one L.
Same thing. How you doing, cuz?
I'm good, man. How you doing? Yo, I got a quick question for you.
All right, shoot me like Kennedy. What's cracking?
So, Joey's doing an episode this week about the moon and wanted to reach out to you and see what you think.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but I don't think anything about the moon. I know. But first things first, you tell that Joey sitting over there, he's going to need to take that straitjacket off. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking to yourself, Gil with two L's, why on God's gray moon would Martians mangle with such a melanous mantle? But the truth be told, the real conundrum is, why the hell not? Now, we all know the reptilians called dibs on our doomed souls long ago, meaning, contrary to unpopular belief, the moon was more habitable a billion years ago than an uninhabitable wasteland habitated by a bunch of damned lizard freaks sunbathing off the coast of Pangaea. And even though you might think being blasted by radiation on the lunar surface makes colonization unflavorable, the taste back then, well, that was sweet as a moon pie on the tailgate of a Chevy in June. You see, while the surface was bitter, the center was sweet. All they had to do was dig in. Just like you're going to need to with what I just told you. Now, if you'll excuse me, I was in the middle of recreating Admiral Byrd's flight to the South Pole and across the firmament via Microsoft Flight Simulator. You take care, cousin.
All right. Thank you, man.
Well,
that's all I got.
Gil with two L's literally did not tell anybody out there a thing.
Not a damn thing.
I'm going to help him out there. So basically on the moon, from what the author puts forward in the book and from what Gil with two L's forgot to mention, is there are mechanical machines that, according to the author, they're moving rocks on the moon's surface, right? So the author noted that these machine generators on the moon, they come in two kinds, right? So he's basically given the idea that they are using the surface of the moon to help them live. They're using stuff to get light, they're getting food, they're getting water, they're using minerals inside to make their habitat to help them go along. So the two names of the mechanical generators and, you know, mechanical machines that are on the moon are called X-drones and super rigs.
Okay.
And he made up the names for these, by the way. These aren't the alien names. Obviously, you know, they're not dot, dot, dot or whatever. Well, super rigs are basically like cranes, crane-like structures. These things are used to take super heavy rocks off the ground and move them to where the X-drones are, right?
Okay.
The X-drones are then able to process the rocks or the minerals and kind of look like little worm-like structures. They're longer and stretch across the ground.
So they poop them out?
They what?
They poop out the rocks?
Literally, yeah. They just literally poop out the rocks and minerals and make them smaller.
Okay.
So this is how I think of the idea behind the mechanical structures on the moon. And this is what the author puts forward, right? He's putting forward that there are mechanical structures that are helping the aliens live on the moon. It's basically a rock quarry, and these machines are helping move it and then process the minerals, get it down to them so that they can use it for lighting, for electricity, for things like that.
I'm gonna slowly and dramatically on the lunar surface throw a wrench in your debunking, Joey, and I'm gonna do it with a NASA.gov article about a discovery that was made that I'm not sure if you knew about.
No, but please go ahead.
I know you're about to pull it up. I'll just send you the link. I can share the link with you right now. You didn't even gotta
know. I want you to tell me about it.
April 25th, 2023.
Yeah.
Almost exactly 1 year ago from the time of this recording, an article posted on NASA's website. Title of the article: NASA successfully extracts oxygen from lunar soil simulant. So, long of it, short of it is, NASA realized very, very recently, less than a year ago, that a large percentage, we're talking 25, 35, 45% of the actual atomic structure of the majority of the rock on the lunar surface, it can be broken down into pure oxygen, into actually like a breathable oxygen for life as we understand it. Again, that's coming off the basis that we assume that all extraterrestrial life grew up on an oxygen-rich or, you know, cocktail-mixtured, like, planet and atmosphere and stuff like that.
For sure.
I gotta push back a little bit here for the folks. We are proving right now that, like, we might be able to terraform, realistically terraform, the moon.
Yeah.
Like, we might be able to make lunar bases. So, as things always go with progress, the science fiction and the fantasy of today become the reality of tomorrow. We might literally decide to make lunar bases for all the reasons that these conspiracies
made,
because frankly they're kind of a good idea.
And I agree to that, and I think that that's funny true as well. But they also found water vapors when they crashed the rockets into the moon as well, so that's one of the things that happened, as well as Gil's finding of that NASA.gov, which, I mean, if you don't believe NASA, who can you believe? I also want to add another theory of the aliens living on the moon, right? So the author of this book uses two different pictures of the same moon crater 5 years apart.
Okay.
Right? He's noting the rubble and the huge boulders that actually have moved in the different pictures. It's not just because of the, quotation, solar winds or the meteorite hits that are moving these. He quotes, the super rigs and X-drones are moving these, like we explained above, for mining purposes. He also notes that on the edges of this crater, they form the shape of a perfect octagon. Perfect octagon, like something sitting there mining the walls and cutting it straight. And that doesn't happen with a normal meteorite. It's kind of jagged. It's not as straight, not as doesn't look that great.
How much of this was quoted from Gordon Michael Scallion?
This is quoted from the original, this guy. I don't know if there's a quote from him.
But this isn't Gordon Michael Scallion. Old school Art Bell fans will know Gordon Michael Scallion. Coming on the Art Bell, like, Coast to Coast episodes, like, way back in the day in the 90s. He was on all the fucking time arguing with people over radio about photos. Some of the most mind-numbing shit you'll ever hear in your life. I had to ask.
So the author is George H. Jones.
Okay. George Jones, the country musician George Jones.
We cut this out because I can never remember this fucking guy's name because he's so boring.
No, it's George Jones. I'm maniacally laughing now because I warned you, Joey, so many times, don't do a moon episode.
George H. Leonard.
Okay, I like to think it's George Jones.
It's oh my God. Okay, I'm gonna get back into it.
You got this. You got this.
The author being George H. Leonard.
Okay.
Basically was saying, you know, everything's an octagon, like we were just saying. Everything's being cut out. The walls are pretty straight on the edges, like they're having machines going in there and grab them, not like a meteorite gets into them.
Yeah.
And then pulling them these pieces of rock down.
They look like, it looks like mechanical mining has been taking place across the whole surface.
It looks like literally a quarry that we see here.
Yeah.
And it's like the same thing. And the machines, and I mean, I want to guess and say the idea of these machines, we're putting a human type value on these machines.
Of course.
Comparative to what they could mean to a superior alien race that's inhabiting the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes me want to ask, what is more likely to you? That the moon is just this barren, uninhabitable place?
Mm.
Or the moon could be home to an interstellar race that has technologies far superior to us?
Mm.
They can live underground, all the while surveilling us and studying us to see if we are destroying, helping, or even just existing on the Earth?
Yeah.
Which one seems more plausible to you?
Me? Ooh, that's a tough one.
Well, I'm just going to move on to our next theory on the moon, and then we'll go ahead and answer later.
Good call.
The next theory is a Russian theory, actually. Soviet, I think, is there in this time. So,
okay.
The Vasin-Sherbakov theory,
okay.
Or rather, as it's better known, the moon is actually a huge spacecraft instead of just a natural rock satellite of the Earth, right? Have you heard about this one?
No, but I have heard about the moon being hollow because of the echo from when the Apollo spacecraft landed and the like resonating that took place, which for a long time, very legitimately, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in terms of like science and shit, they made them think like, is the moon actually hollow? Because when Apollo landed, that motherfucker rang like a bell for hours. But I haven't heard about this cosmonaut theory. No.
Yeah. Well, the theory was put forth by the two members of the then Soviet Academy of Sciences, Michael Vasin and Alexander Sherbakov, in a July 1970 article entitled, Is the Moon the Creation of Alien Intelligence?
Okay, I like it.
Right? Yeah, it's pretty, yeah. It's in a Soviet newspaper, so it was our Soviet paper, basically.
So you know it's true.
It's true. Mikhail and Alexander both referenced the large lunar craters on the surface of the moon, and that they are generally just a bit too shallow to be actual meteorite crashes. They also have flat and convex bottoms, which would not indicate a crash. The reason they say this is because the small meteors are making cup-shaped depressions, right, in the rocky surface of the moon.
Okay.
While the larger meteors are drilling through a 5-mile thick rocky layer and hitting a high tensile hull underneath.
Oh.
The assumption is that there is a rocky layer on top.
It's a dusty base.
Yep, is basically the outer layer of a ship.
Oh, shit.
With what we would know as the metal hull.
It's a dusty Death Star.
Literally, yeah. And underneath, it would be the atmosphere.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. The alien race could breathe or have some sort of protection from the sun's radiation, right?
I like this.
Yeah, right? And I do like to call it the Death Star, too, right? So that kind of makes it. It's kind of cool. Kind of like something you know, you can understand.
It makes the moon that much more ominous. Like you walk outside and you're like, I know what the fuck you are.
You walk outside and you're dun 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 dun. Yeah. Which also sounds seemingly familiar to the wedding waltz. The walking down the aisle. Well, both Michael and Alexander note that the moon is made of different elements than the surface of the Earth. And me and Gil talked about this before.
We've got Swiss, we've got mozzarella, we've got Munster.
Parmesan.
We've got cheddar. All right, we got brie. Okay, we got that other kind of brie that I can't remember. We have hard cheddar. We have a white cheddar. I'm running out of cheeses. My sister needs to help me out here. We have mozzarella. I think I already said that. We have so many options. There are so many elements to the cheese table.
Well, adding to the minerals, there's chromium, titanium, and zirconium cheeses, and that some rocks are way older than the oldest rocks on the Earth, right? So they've been dated, and that's been one of the things that they said in their theory behind it.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to go there, we can compare the theory that the moon was made from a meteor crashing into the Earth and then splitting off, which is also called the giant impact theory.
A meteor from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Crashed into the moon.
Think about that. Made of Wisconsin Swiss cheese.
God dang.
Oh, poor Wisconsin. Giant impact theory, right?
Yes.
It sounds like one of those horrible end of the world movies. Giant impact.
Because it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it actually? I like think Big Impact or something like that. Was Giant Impact a name?
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, something the size of the fucking moon crashed into the Earth. It was a mixture between something that was the size of the moon. At the end of the day, whatever crashed in and whatever came out of the crash ended up creating something the size of the fucking moon. That's a giant impact.
Yeah, that's a giant impact.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think of it, and I think of that name, and then I go, there's one person that could star in this movie. And we're going to say it at the same time, right?
Three, two, one.
Gerard Butler.
Bruce Willis.
Oh.
Did you say George Washington?
Gerard Butler. Because he's always in those other impact movies. You know, those other end of the world movies.
Okay. Yeah. I was saying Bruce Willis because of Armageddon.
Gerard Willis. Well, I can already see Hollywood writing this movie.
Can you imagine that jawline?
Oh, my God.
Holy fuck, they need to have kids.
Oh, my God. I can already see Hollywood writing this, and I don't want to see it in my mind.
Yeah, I want to see it with my eyes.
Before we get a little more hollow, I wanted to add in a little story that the author in our first reference put forth about the spaceship moon, or as me and Gil just called it, the Death Star, right?
Yeah.
The idea the author got this from is from a JPL scientist that he was talking to one day. And in the book, oh, my God, I don't want to explain to you how many times he walked into the scientist's office for the scientist not to be there. And he talked to the receptionist, and she's like, yeah, he's not in there today. And I just imagine the scientist was just like listening around the corner, hearing it, being like, fuck, I gotta go. I gotta crawl out a window. I gotta get out of here.
Told her to tell him I'm not here.
Yeah, as this guy just comes in every other day trying to talk to him. And he's like, I can't do it today. I have to figure out these rockets. These rockets are not getting us anywhere. I got to get these rockets somewhere.
I think our next episode needs to be hunting down this receptionist and hearing their story. Because, oh my God, I want to hear about how they survived this onslaught.
The things that she probably was told. Yeah. from this guy.
Dude, at what point would you just be like, yeah, sure, whatever. Get the fuck out of here.
I honestly think that's how this author got to talk to the JPL scientist. Is she was just like, he's fucking here today. Like, he's finally here. You go talk to him.
Of course he's here today. What is JPL?
The Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Where is that?
California.
Oh, cool. Is that, like, connected to a university or something?
You should know what JPL is.
I literally have no clue.
Oh, Jet Propulsion Laboratory is what helped build the rockets so we could go to space.
Okay.
They were the ones that were testing everything, and they were creating engines, they were creating turbines, and you're a favorite person of ours that is also into the occult started Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
See, yeah, I think the reason why I don't know about this is, like, I don't read a lot of fiction, so I never really got into that.
Oh, Jesus. Propulsion Laboratory. The Jesus Propulsion Laboratory is now what I'm calling this. Wow. Well,
okay.
After that knee slapper that Gil just gave us, I want to say, basically, he finally got in to talk to this guy.
Eventually, his secretary was taking a pee.
He ran in there.
Damn it, Cheryl, you didn't warn me.
He says he's protecting the scientist's name by not giving the name. Guy probably was like, you cannot use my name when you're telling this story. And to be fair, this is all secondhand, so everyone has to take this with, like, the salt of the author's credibility, right? Because he went in to talk to this guy. This is what he said the Jet Propulsion Lab scientist told him. The moon was driven to our solar system many thousands of years ago during a calamity in space. The occupants, an alien race, are repairing the spaceship over the thousands of years and will eventually finally fix it and drive it back out of the solar system when they're done.
Whoa.
That was what the JPL scientist told him.
That's some trippy shit. That's a trippy thought.
Here's where I come into it. I think of it like this.
Yeah.
Goodbye tides. Goodbye water. Water world, here we come.
Damn.
You're giving me that look. Kevin Costner will finally be able to live out his dreams.
Yeah.
And I also just found out that Jack Black was in that movie too, credited as the smoker plane pilot. No joke. Really weird.
I think I remember that. I watched that movie way too much growing up, honestly. I can't imagine that it helped my IQ over the years, but that and The Postman, I'm way too familiar with.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now, I know most of you probably already know about the hollow moon theory, right? And I want to make clear that we will call these theories and not conspiracy theories, because I want to actually give credence to the people who thought them up. Most of them are scientists. Some of them are NASA scientists. Some of them are just testing hypotheses, asking good questions, creating the hypotheses on something that's actually viewable, studyable, or in some ways we're going to call mathable, is what I like to say about it too. There have been many, many, many precedents to the modern day hollow moon theory.
Mm-hmm.
The first being by Edmund Halley in 1692. He was an English mathematician, astronomer, and physicist. Instead of a hollow moon, he gave the idea for a hollow Earth, which now has been popularized by the Godzilla vs. Kong movies, so people are kind of getting back into that. That consisted of what we talked about before. There was a shell consisting of about 500 miles or 7,920,000 hamburgers. And that's the only math that I'm going to say today. So no more math. Also, with the 500-mile shell, right, around Earth, there are two inner concentric shells and then an innermost core. And in between each of these shells, there was an atmosphere, just like we talked about in George H. Leonard's book. You know, it's what he put forth.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
So it's like an atmosphere sandwich.
Yeah, so it's like there's...
Okay.
The core is not what we think it is. There's like...
Oh, no, no.
And literally, if you watch Godzilla versus Kong, you can see the idea of the hollow Earth.
I'm never going to watch that.
Yeah, please don't. But it gives the idea that there's a shell, which is the top.
Yeah.
And you get down with the... basically where we are,
mm-hmm.
on our own, being stupid, you know, our normal.
Yeah.
Eating hamburgers.
Around 8,000 a year.
Yep. There's a crust, two inner concentric shells. And then in between those shells, there's different layers. There's an atmosphere on top of each of those two inner concentric shells.
Okay.
And then underneath that, there's the innermost core, which is obviously, as we know it, that's the big metal molten ball thing that we all think of if there's the middle of the core.
Okay.
Like in the middle of an avocado. That's the idea behind it. And that's what he put forth. Well, he also puts forth that each sphere would also rotate at a different speed, right?
Oh.
So each piece of core is rotating at a different speed.
This is trippy.
The reason he came up with that was because he was using a compass, and he just kept getting all these weird and anomalous readings when he was trying to read it wherever he'd go.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just didn't understand why that happened. So this is why he said that happened, because there's two cores.
So instead of the compass fucking up, he created a complex theory.
I feel like that's science.
Yeah, well, I'm here for it.
And he tried to test it as well. Like, that was his big thing. He tried to test it, and I don't know the results of that test.
No one does.
I don't think he wrote it.
Now, how do we get back to the moon from here? So we just went into the Earth, multiple layers.
Yeah.
Multiple levels, if you will. We're ready to fight the boss, which is obviously the moon. How does it come back to the moon?
Well, getting us back to the moon. In the early 1900s, H.G. Wells reimagined the idea of the hollow moon with his book, The First Men on the Moon, in 1901. This was, like, H.G. Wells was really famous for science fiction, but still kept the idea of the hollow moon straight in the consciousness of society, kind of like what the movie Moonfall has done, which came out 2021, 2022. If you haven't seen the movie yet, which Gil probably hasn't seen it, the dialogue is awful. I literally went through a transcript of the movie to try to find some stuff to edit it. I don't know why I did it. I was just trying to put stuff in the script to make it funny. Don't ever watch it. But Moonfall kept the consciousness of society thinking about it being a hollow moon, because in the movie, it's a hollow moon. They go into the moon and there's a species of sentient alien AI race in the moon controlling it as it's trying to crash down into Earth.
That sounds cool as fuck.
Just watch it and you won't think it's cool as fuck. Let's move on because I shouldn't even have brought that up. Well, I want to say for the hollow moon theory, right? The main piece of evidence that is said to prove this theory, Gil kind of referenced it earlier about the Apollo 12 mission, right?
Yes.
So the Apollo 12 mission in November of 1969. This is why I kind of say you kind of have to believe that we landed on the moon to believe in this theory.
Okay.
Because the Apollo 12 landed on the moon.
Yeah.
As they push back up the spacecraft into the landing craft to get back up to the main craft to go back to Earth, they drop down a small piece of the rocket into the moon, right?
Okay.
And before they left a seismograph because they were going to do a bunch of readings on if there's any moonquakes, as they call them, to see if they can understand what happens on the moon.
Uh-huh.
Also would help us understand what's in the moon, right?
Yeah.
So as they dropped the rocket down, the rocket crashed into the moon and it rang like a bell for an hour.
Yep.
I do want to kind of make you understand that the idea is it didn't literally ring, right?
Yeah.
There was no sound, you know, the sound wasn't there. Basically, the idea of it is like it was a bell shaking after it gets hit.
Yeah.
There's no noise, but it's continuously shaking like a bell. And that's actually what they describe it as, because it's a seismograph. It's not going to catch the sound. Well, after that happened and they saw the seismograph readings, they radioed back to the leader of NASA at the time. Speaking of Nazis on the moon.
Oh, Jesus.
Warner von Braun. And he told them to do it again. This time, they littered bigger. They dropped a bigger portion of a rocket down, one of the booster rockets, to get up. And it crashed, and it rang again for 3 hours. This time, the idea was like a gong.
Okay, so for 3 hours, they dropped a bomb?
No, they didn't do that yet. That happened later. didn't do that. No, they dropped rockets that were helping them propel. So, I mean, technically, it kind of was a bomb. I mean, it still blew up because it still had the jet fuel in it, and we still trashed the shit out of the moon.
We're such assholes. None of these considerations are based on the fact of, like, littering. We just immediately start with, how the fuck do we do what we want to do and leave? No thoughts are given to the actual place that we're going.
How do we
fuck it?
And I mean, we're scientists, right? So they were scientists. They're trying to figure out things by being terrible people by littering the moon. And if there's alien races in the moon, we literally just ruined their freaking patio.
Yeah.
We could have ruined their patio with litter. They came out and were just like, the fuck is this? So I want to ask you, Gil.
Yes.
You ready to take off your straitjacket? What would cause that? Like, so I'm going to get into it. So what would cause that?
I would say, looking back now, that the vibrations or seeming seismic vibrations were caused by the elemental makeup of the actual surface of the moon. It's not that the moon is hollow. It's that, how can I put this? I think this is a good metaphor. Picture a fall day. It's a late fall day, and there are hundreds of thousands of dropped, dried maple leaves on the ground. And you take a leaf blower 10 feet up in the air, and you blow straight down into those leaves, and they all start reverberating, and they all start spreading out. It's not that the ground that the leaves are sitting on is hollow, right? It's that the way that the impact is impacting those leaves, the air hitting those leaves, is causing them to spread out, to shake, to shatter, to vibrate across the surface. And that, on an elemental level, is what happened on the moon.
Well, Gil, here you are providing answers that nobody needed.
But is that not how it eventually gets described?
That's how they described it. Correct. That's what they found out, yes. After scientists looked into it, that's the boring ship. We don't like that here. I do want to say also, so some things I've learned by researching into this, because I just love learning this stuff. The Earth also rings, which maybe you didn't know. But the only time it rings is if they have earthquakes that are fucking massive.
Yeah.
Just like a rocket hitting the ground on the moon. just because the difference in the diameter. Well, as well as the Earth ringing, the sun also rings constantly because it's just a literal nuclear fusion consistently going all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I found out that you can actually listen to the sun ringing.
Is it like a 24-hour stream? Because I will fucking tune in.
Yeah. It's sped up about 42,000 times.
Okay, I can slow it down.
You wouldn't be able
care.
To hear it. It's sped up 42,000 times, so it's in our human range of hearing.
Send me the link. I'll put it in the show notes. Joey, I want
to
hear this.
I'll send you the link after the show so you can go to
sleep. I can hear the sun?
I will put it in the show notes.
Yep.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the original author, George H. Leonard's theory, and the moon spaceship theory would probably go against each other, right? So the way I think of it, if the moon was an actual spaceship, why would they be mining their own spaceship for materials? If this is the way you want to think about it.
Because it's materials that crashed on the outside of the spaceship.
The idea behind it is that that is all part of the spaceship.
Even the powder on the outside?
All the rocks and stuff is part of the spaceship.
Right. So, like, I would say,
uh-huh,
if you are able to build a ship that fucking huge,
uh-huh,
then you are going to have parts of that ship that over the evolution, over the lifetime of people living on it, if you want to call them people, whatever, parts are going to be neglected, parts are going to develop, parts are going to evolve. Like, you know, there's the whole spaceship Earth theory. And like the spaceship moon theory, it makes sense that if you wanted an adequate spaceship to travel the cosmos, right,
uh-huh,
you would intentionally create parts that would evolve on their own.
Yeah.
And you would leave it to evolve on its own.
Uh-huh.
And you would have policies and government and institutions and regulations that are all developed around it doing its own thing, because as a whole, it helps your society towards whatever the fuck the grander mission is. And that's some...
Did you just read the script ahead of time that I was just writing, my good friend? I like to say that we're on our own little spaceship Earth.
Spaceship Earth, yeah.
Which I've now just heard of. So Gil has enlightened me to the spaceship Earth theory that I did not know existed. And I think I'm just going to close my mind to that theory at the moment. Because I want to extend this to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Earth is our little spaceship, right? Because as the Hubble theory explains, the distance between galaxies is also expanding. So, in essence, we're moving through space, not just around the sun, but we're moving with our galaxy through space.
Yeah.
So, to be clear, galaxies are not just flying randomly away from each other, though. So that's not happening. We're expanding, and we don't know where the center pivot is yet. And that's one thing we might not ever be able to find out, because we're in three dimensions. Could be in other dimensions. That's kind of what I was researching into the Hubble theory.
Damn.
Blew my mind because I had to read it for about 4 hours before I could understand some of the things. But I want to make you understand about this because I had to read about it, and I'm going to end the show this way.
I'm going to subject you to this.
Which actually, it's a great example of how I understood it better.
Yeah.
So think of a loaf of bread that has chocolate chips in it.
Always.
Which I just think about chocolate banana bread. So chocolate banana bread. Once it starts baking, right, the bread grows on the outside. But there's chocolate chips inside the bread, right? So slowly the bread is growing. But the distance between the chocolate chips is also growing, right? So the chocolate chips in the middle look out at the other chocolate chips and they're like, damn, they're moving really fast.
Damn.
Right? So everything that's farther out from the center pivot, as we can call a quote, center pivot of this middleness of the bread, the chocolate chip, everything farther out looks like it's going faster out than the one in the middle. But it's really not. It's just what the viewpoint is. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the Hubble theory.
Okay. So if you sitting, you know, like fucking like center of a NASCAR race, the cars look like they're going away from you incredibly fucking fast, but in reality they're saying a relatively predictable distance away from you consistently. They are consistently just making one left turn. That front driver's side fucking tire is getting all the fucking work. But in reality, you know, like when you're sitting there, it's like, holy shit, like, vroom, yeah, like they're just flying fucking back. It's looking like it's whoosh, but in reality, it's actually a pretty predictable distance, and it's slowly expanding around you, which immediately develops the argument between perception and measurement. Right, and that's where they meet at on a hyper level.
You have to have a fixed point. You always have to have a fixed point so that you can measure speed from somewhere else, because how would you know how fast something else is going if you're not saying that you're at complete zero? I'm so sorry about the math that I just subjected you to. And look, all these moon theories, I wanted to subject you to the end of this math, because I sat and listened to this audiobook for 6 hours, and it's out of my brain right now. So thank you all for listening to our moon theories. And this is literally the theories without getting into all the math.
We're going to get into some fun shit later. I got some fun shit Joey didn't cover. Joey just set us up 101.
This is all the stories from the basis of the stories and the theories without math. This is what I've learned researching into all this. And I wanted to subject you just to the end of the math that I was learning so that I could understand some of these theories and understand how they went through with the Hubble theory. You know, makes sense, the idea behind it. But if you get deeper into it, it just becomes math and how this rock moved 2¼ inch away from this little other rock that now it shows that it's in this other picture 5 years later. And you have to find out that this orbital thing, and now Gil's just gone. He just zoned out, and I'm pretty sure everyone did too. And I just want to say thank you for listening to the Moon Theory episode, and I hope it was great for you all.
You finished it like it was sex for the first time. You were just like, I hope that was good. I hope that was good for you.
This
you
is
know
how...
exactly what I mean. You know exactly.
I know, and I can't.
I hope that was great for you all.
I want to rephrase my ending.
That was great.
So now that you know about the Hubble theory, you can take your straitjacket off, knowing some of the moon theories that are now orbiting around Gil and I's brain. And they've probably been orbiting around your brain for a while too, because again, these are not new things, right? Gil had referenced Nazis on the moon. That's a little bit more far off than I wanted to go at this point. Uh-huh. I wanted to ease us into it. I like to say this is a beginner's course, 101 of moons. And Gil, later on, in pre-production, he was talking about it. He might take us a little deeper, might put our toes, maybe get our legs in the water for another moon theory. But I can honestly say it's going to be a while. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week as we delve into a more bloody topic.
Bye. Bye.
Before him that talked about it as well, but he kind of popularized this idea of the hollow moon with his book, The Fist Men.
First Men. First Men. Oh my God. It was supposed to be First Men on the Moon, and it typed it autocorrected to Fist. I'm pretty sure there's some early 1960s, 70s like porns that are literally, that's what they are.
Fisted Men on the Moon. Oh my God. Oh, I'm so sorry. That was a hilarious outtake.